Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's FM 103.2, available on the web at fm1032.com.au.
We had such good feedback from our chat with Ruth Graham last year. In fact, it looks like that interview actually resulted in her getting the invite to come to Australia this week. As Billy Graham's daughter, it's so easy for the conversation to revolve around him. But seeing as it's Mother's Day, we thought we'd take the opportunity to find out what kind of impact Ruth's mother, Ruth Bell Graham, has had on her. I actually spoke to Ruth at her home in North Carolina during the week. And again, welcome to her to the show. It's a great interview. Take a listen.
Thank you for having me.
And happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much. I have three children, and I have, counting step-grandchildren, I have eight.
That keeps you busy. But are you ever in one place long enough to celebrate something like Mother's Day? I mean, you're flying all around the place these days.
Well, I'm not sure where I'll be this Mother's Day. Yeah. I know I won't be with my mother. I think I'm going to be down with you all.
That is something we really must say, because it's going to be wonderful to have you to Australia. And it might actually be as a result of our chat last year.
That's right, exactly. I think you introduced me to Australia.
Well,
and I appreciate that, because I've never been, and I'm really looking forward to coming.
Oh, we're looking forward to having you here, and hopefully it's going to be a nice experience after we've made the introduction for you.
Thank you. You'll be either blamed or credited.
Yes, we'll find out afterwards. For those who didn't catch our chat last year, and for those who maybe don't know as much about your family as so many Christians do, daughter of the, I guess, the most famed Christian evangelist of modern times, Billy Graham. And, of course, of his wife, Ruth Bell Graham, whom you're named after. What really was it like growing up in the Graham household?
I am asked that so many times, Sheridan, and I haven't come up with a really good answer, because we grew up in a rather normal family. We grew up in a small community that was populated by retired missionaries and retired ministers. So it was not unusual to have people traveling the globe preaching the gospel. So the fact that Daddy did that was not unusual. Now, he was gone. I remember when he went to Australia, and he was gone for 6 months at a stretch, which was a little unusual. But Mother never made us feel that we were being neglected or that that was some sort of a deficiency. Mother never, when he left, she never cried, she never carried on, she just kissed him goodbye and began to look forward to the next time he came home. And we always made it a big celebration when he left and a big celebration when he came home. I did not realize that we were growing up in anything unusual until I got a little older and people began to treat me differently. Because certainly as a family and as a community, we weren't treated any differently. But as I grew up and went off to school, other people reacted to me in a way that was a little different and expected me to do this or that, and for years I tried to live up to other people's expectations, and I finally learned as an adult that I don't have to do that, and it's okay to be myself.
Mm. With that strain on the marriage, that must be, I mean, your father gone away for 6 months at a time sometimes, how do you think your father and your mother kept a strong marriage? I mean, they did keep a strong marriage during those times.
Well, Mother will laugh and say we kept a strong marriage because we didn't live together. But I think, first, it was the fact that they loved the Lord first. Mm. They were committed to Jesus Christ, and Mother and Daddy were both committed to his calling of evangelism. And so they, it was a partnership. And they, when Daddy was gone, he would call home every day if he could, and he would write letters. He would keep us, you know, posted and updated on what was going on, which was quite exciting. And we always listened to his radio program, The Hour of Decision. And on a Sunday afternoon, we'd gather around the radio, and it originated from wherever he was. Mm-hmm. So if he was in Australia or Africa, we could hear his voice, and we could hear what was going on where he was. So that kept us connected. And we had a globe that sat in the kitchen, and so we always knew where he was. We always prayed for him every morning and every evening. So we felt connected. And again, I say, you know, Mother did not whine or complain or grumble, and she didn't say, well, just wait till your father gets home. She just handled things as they came, and she did have help. She had five children, but her parents were across the street, and she had good help. But she, you know, bless her heart, it was not easy, but no. She's a remarkable woman.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your most treasured childhood memory of your father? Maybe even one of those phone calls.
Well, you know, it's not really as a child. I have a very precious memory of him as an adult. About, 15 years ago. My marriage had ended in divorce, and after 21 years, and I was devastated and quickly went into another marriage, a rebound marriage, which lasted for 3 months. My parents had warned me not to marry this man. They told me to wait, to slow down. We didn't know enough about him. But I figured, you know, I knew what was best for my life. So I went ahead and married him after knowing him for 6 months, and it wasn't long before I realized that I had made a terrible mistake, and I had to go face my parents. It was a two-day drive, and I was scared. I was nervous. But, my mind was swirling with questions. What was my life going to be like? What was I going to say to my children? What was I going to say to my parents? Were they going to tell me, you know, we're tired of dealing with you. You're on your own. But as I rounded the last bend in my father's driveway, my father was standing there. And as I got out of the car, he wrapped his arms around me and said, "Welcome home." And that was such a demonstration of grace. And I realized that when I come to God with my brokenness, my questions, my bewilderment, my hurt, my pain, and even my doubts, he wraps his arms around me and says, "Welcome home." Mm-hmm. And so that's a pivotal event in my life. As a result of that experience and the grace that I felt from my father, I knew I'd always been loved by him, but that was such a demonstration of his grace that my life was changed from then on.
It's a beautiful story. This is Open House, and we're talking to Ruth Graham, daughter of the well-known evangelist Billy Graham. We're going to podcast this via the openhouse.net.au. Ruth, let's talk about your mother now. Everybody talks about your dad because he's so famous. Let's talk about your mum, Ruth Bell, and the motherhood that she gave you during those years when your father was away. You've got to be one of the only daughters in the world. It's actually written a book as a Mother's Day present for your mother.
Well, actually, I have the two books that I wrote, A Legacy of Love, Things I Learned from My Mother, and Legacy of Faith, Things I Learned from My Father, are the only books written by their children, about them. And it's sort of the inside look as to what life was like in the Billy Graham household. I think they're honest accounts, but they're loving accounts, because I just love my parents. My mother had a wonderful sense of humor. She was a godly woman. I mean, first and foremost, she was sold out to God. And one of her favorite mottos was, "Make the most of all that comes and the least of all that goes." And when Daddy was gone, she made the most of the time that she had. And she didn't whine. She didn't complain. She wasn't angry that he was gone. She didn't resent it. She was able to travel with him some, but not much. She felt responsible for 5 children at home. But she had a wonderful sense of humor, and always on her desk in her bedroom, her Bible was open, and she would take little bits of time every day and go back to her desk and read her scriptures and feed on God's word, and that's what I think sustained her. She was raised in China by missionary parents and came to college in the United States, and that's where she met my father. And she had every intention of going to Mongolia as a missionary. But when she met my father, her plans altered. And I don't think she had any idea that not only would she touch Mongolia itself, but around the world through her marriage to my father.
I think you're right as well. I mean, that's what a meeting of destinies.
Yes. My sister Anne has said that there would not be a Billy Graham without a Ruth Graham. And I agree with that completely, because Mother is still his anchor. And she's very invalided. She's unable to do anything for herself. And so he stays close to home to be near her. It really was a love match.
Yeah. If you look back, what's perhaps the most, I asked you this about your father, but what's the most cherished memory you have of your mom?
I think probably with my mother, again, it was an experience I really didn't have, but I was told about, but it impressed me greatly. My mother, as I said, is very infirmed and has been for some years, but before she was actually unable to do anything for herself, she suffers from degenerative arthritis. Her spine collapsed, and she was in a great deal of pain, very, very frail, very, very thin, and had every excuse not to get on her knees to pray. But one night, the nurse was passing by her door and happened to glance in and saw my mother, this frail little body, in this white nightgown, kneeling beside her bed, worshiping the one that she has adored all her life. And that really impressed me as someone who had, you know, she didn't have to kneel. God could have heard her prayers otherwise, but my mother just is devoted and has been in love with the Lord Jesus all of her life. And I remember after I was first married, I went to my father. I'd had a big fight with my husband, and I was just, you know, I wanted him to cram his teeth down his throat. But my father set me down beside him on his bed, and he said, "I want to tell you, your mother was married to Christ first. And every night she would kiss me goodnight and tell me she loved me, whether she was mad at me or not. But she was married to Christ first." And that impressed me, because mother's priority is that it was Jesus first.
It's beautiful. And if you were to think back now about some of the parenting challenges you faced, and you have actually faced quite a few parenting challenges. We talked last time about you had one daughter with an eating disorder, another daughter actually had a couple of unplanned pregnancies as a teenager. When was the last time that you looked at your own parenting and said, "Ah, I got that from my mother"?
Very, very often. My mother was not, she didn't major on the minors. And she said, "If it's not a moral issue, let it go. You know, choose the hill to die on." And she chose to die on moral issues. And if we sassed, if we told a lie, if we were inappropriate, then she'd came down hard. But if we wore long, you know, back when I was growing up, it was long hair and earrings and eye makeup and short skirts. And those were not moral issues. And she did not harp on those. Mm-hmm. And when my brother got into some really sort of raucous music, she went and bought the albums and listened to them herself so that she could know what was going on.
Right.
And always a great sense of humor. And that, you know, I tried to do that in my own with my own children.
Yeah. We're talking to Ruth Graham, and we'll podcast this via theopenhouse.net.au from midday tomorrow on Open House here. Do you get to communicate very much with your mother now, Ruth? You said she's an invalid. How alert is she?
She's very alert. Both mother and daddy have very alert minds. And I tell her she commands her armies from bed. She is, unfortunately, she is unable to speak very clearly. It's not because she's had a stroke. It's just her mouth has drawn up some. And so it's hard for her to articulate, and you have to listen very carefully. But just last week, I talked to both of them on the phone. They put Daddy on a speakerphone because he's quite deaf. Right. But it was great to hear his voice. I love to hear his voice. And Mom, I was able to hear her voice and tried to, you know, figure out what she was saying. But she always tells me she loves me, and she says, "You're doing too much. You need to slow down."
Yes. Boy, I can hear my own mother in there.
But both of them are very excited about my going to Australia and are very interested in the trip.
Well,
and I think Daddy's going to live vicariously through me.
Yes, well, it'll bring back a lot of memories for him, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. I hope to get to meet some, be with some of his friends while I'm there.
Well, there are so many ministers of religion here, so many church pastors here that look back at the Billy Graham Crusades that happened here in the 50s and the 70s as the turning point of their spiritual lives and the turning point of their vocational lives.
Yes, so I think it's wonderful.
I think you're going to have a lot of people coming up to you and say, "Well, I remember when."
You know, people say, "Oh, you're tired of hearing this." But, you know, that's why we gave Daddy up. And so to hear about the results and the lives that were changed and people who have gone into the ministry, whose lives were turned around, we like to hear that because that's why we sent him out.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to your visit here, and it's on behalf of Teen Challenge this time as well, isn't it?
That's correct, Sheridan, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, Ruth Graham, thank you so much for your time, and happy Mother's Day again.
Thank you so much, Sheridan. I hope I get to see you while I'm there.
I'm looking forward to it.
Great.
Ruth Bell Graham there, daughter of the famed evangelist Billy Graham. She's going to be in Brisbane May 16 and 17 for Teen Challenge, also in Toowoomba on the 18th and at Hillsong Church on the 20th. Details of her visit are at teenchallenge.org.au.
We hope you enjoyed this FM 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit fm1032.com.au.